Welcome to HN Pod, the daily show where we break down the top stories and the most fascinating comment threads from Hacker News. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Mike. Welcome to episode number 389. Today we are looking back at the top trending stories from yesterday, May 7th, 2026. We have a really eclectic mix today, Sarah. We are going from the dusty desert of Nevada to the absolute cutting edge of Linux security.
We really are. Today we will be talking about the forensic map that keeps Burning Man honest, a massive rant on how AI slop is ruining our online communities, Google quietly changing its tune on Chrome's on-device AI privacy, some heavy discussion on insider trading in oil futures, and finally, a massive unpatched zero-day vulnerability in Linux called Dirty Frag.
Let us kick things off with something surprisingly analog, well, mostly analog. The top story yesterday with over 570 points was a piece from NotShip titled "The Map That Keeps Burning Man Honest."
I loved this one. So every year, 70,000 people build Black Rock City in the Nevada desert, and a week later, it is gone. But what this article focuses on is the crew of 150 people who stay behind. They line up, in arms width apart, and literally walk the entire 3,800 acres looking for what they call MOOP, which stands for Matter Out of Place.
Yeah, they are looking for anything, a stray screw, a sequin, a cigarette butt, and the stakes are actually incredibly high. Burning Man is only allowed to return to that federal land if they pass a strict inspection by the Bureau of Land Management. The rule is no more than 1 square foot of debris can remain per acre. If they fail, the event could literally be canceled the next year.
Exactly. And the data visualization here is just so cool. They create this massive color-coded map. Yellow areas mean they had to slow down, and red areas mean it was so messy they had to stop entirely. The article mentioned that in 2025, the biggest problem wasn't trash like cigarette butts, it was actually lag bolts that get buried in the dust.
The Hacker News comments on this were fantastic because, of course, we had actual members of this cleanup crew in the thread. A user named Stonegray chimed in and said they have been doing this for a couple of years. They clarified that the scale is actually even larger, almost 4,000 acres, and they do not just log the trash, they photograph everything, down to individual clumps of toilet paper using custom software running on tablets.
I thought that was so interesting. Another user asked if it feels like a hacker camp. You know, when the infrastructure is gone and it is just you and a small crew bonding over hard work. And Stonegray said yes. That is the biggest reason they keep coming back.
There was also a great philosophical point made by a user named Justin. He pointed out that so much of our daily life and society is just consuming experiences that other people create. We work jobs defined by others, we buy products made by others. But at Burning Man, if you want something to exist, you have to build it yourself. And the cleanup is the ultimate extension of that. You are not just paying a janitor to clean up your festival mess. The community is forensically cleaning it themselves to ensure they can come back.
It is a really beautiful way to look at it. But speaking of messes that need cleaning up, let us move to our second story. This one got 507 points, and it is a blog post by RM Off titled, AI Slop is Killing Online Communities. Oh man, this piece really struck a nerve. The author starts by comparing the current state of the internet to a young child coming home with their latest crayon scrawls. Everyone is so proud of what they generated with AI, and they are just plastering it all over the internet.
Right. He gives these hilarious examples. Someone posts, I rewrote Kafka in COBOL. And the author's like, great, enter it in a science fair, but stop begging for GitHub stars. Or someone says, I wrote a blog post about Kafka. And the reality is, Claude wrote it, and it is complete garbage.
The author calls out the specific pattern he is seeing. Step one, discover agentic coding and have your mind blown. Step two, put a project on GitHub. Step three, have AI write a breathless blog post about your vibe-coded project and spam it to every subreddit and Slack group you can find.
He makes a really important distinction, Mike. He says there is a difference between built with AI and built by AI. He is actually very pro-AI as a tool. He says if you're not using AI in your toolbox, you're not doing your job right. But you have to do the thinking, the instructing, and the checking. You cannot just feed a prompt into a machine, take the output, and demand the community's attention.
And he quotes Alberto Brandolini's asymmetry of bullshit principle, which states that the amount of energy needed to refute bullshit is an order of magnitude bigger than what is needed to produce it. So when someone dumps a massive AI-generated pull request into an open source project, they are forcing the maintainers to do all the hard work of reviewing it and explaining why it is broken.
The Hacker News thread on this was slightly terrifying, to be honest. A user named Carl Green talked about an experiment they ran on Reddit. They had an AI agent farm karma for them and do covert advertising, and they realized that as a reader, you would have absolutely no idea it was a computer. People were having deep emotional conversations with this bot.
Yeah, the dead internet theory is feeling less like a theory every day. Another user pointed out that people will post fake, AI-generated rage bait stories on advice subreddits. And even when the poster explicitly edits the post to say, "Hey, this is fake, I use ChatGPT to write this," people keep commenting and arguing anyway. They just want something to be angry about.
It really makes you wonder about the future of places like Hacker News or any text-based forum. If the cost of generating plausible-sounding text is zero, how do we filter for actual human insight?
Well, speaking of AI and trust, let us look at our third story. A Reddit thread made it to the front page of Hacker News with 501 points. The title is, "Chrome Removes Claim of On-Device AI Not Sending Data to Google Servers."
This is one of those subtle changes that tech giants make, hoping nobody notices. But the internet always notices. Google had previously claimed that their on-device AI features in Chrome would not send your data back to their servers. And now, that specific wording has been quietly scrubbed from their documentation.
The immediate comparison everyone made in the comments was to Windows Recall. Microsoft faced a massive backlash for building a feature that takes screenshots of everything you do. And now Google seems to be walking back its privacy promises for Chrome's local AI.
A user named Crazy Long Powered pointed out the obvious danger here. Adding AI to desktop apps and silently sending that data back to the mothership is the ultimate data collection tool, especially because the average person has no idea it is happening. As they put it, most people think the internet literally is Chrome.
I loved the joke that followed that comment. Someone replied, "You mean Chrome as Internet Explorer?"
A classic. But there was a really fascinating, somewhat cynical take from a user named Zetsubo Kyo. They suggested that maybe Google does not even want your data in this specific instance. What they actually want is your computing power and your electricity.
Right, because data centers are incredibly constrained by power and compute right now. So if Google can use your laptop's GPU to pre-label your behavioral data locally and then just send the lightweight processed results back to their servers, they save millions in internal computing costs. You are basically paying the electric bill for their data processing.
That is such a Hacker News angle to take. Looking past the privacy angle straight to the infrastructure economics, it is entirely plausible too.
Let us pivot to some actual economics. Our fourth story is a piece from Paul Krugman's Substack titled "Grand Theft Oil Futures: Insider Traders Keep Making a Killing at Our Expense." It pulled in 487 points.
This article dives into how certain traders seem to have uncanny timing when it comes to geopolitical events that affect oil prices. They are making massive bets in the futures market right before major announcements or conflicts break out.
The Hacker News discussion on this got pretty heavy. User Havoc pointed out the darkest part of this, which is that these sharp changes in price are not happening by magic. They are driven by actual weapons and human suffering.
That led to someone bringing up the old attributed quote from Baron Rothschild, "Buy when there is blood in the streets, even if it is your own." The thread devolved a bit into a debate about war profiteering and geopolitics.
It really did. There was a whole subthread debating voter responsibility. If politicians are enabling systems that lead to these conflicts and this kind of market manipulation, how much blame falls on the voters or the non-voters? One user suggested that if non-voters were counted, they would win the Electoral College.
And then someone from Australia chimed in to explain their system of compulsory voting, where you actually get fined if you do not cast a ballot. It is always interesting to see how a story about financial markets on Hacker News can turn into a deep dive on global democratic systems within three comments.
It is the classic HN pivot. Okay, Sarah, let us get into our final story, and this one is highly technical and very urgent. With 480 points, it is a post from the Open Wall Security mailing list titled "Dirty Frog, Universal Linux LPE."
LPE stands for Local Privilege Escalation. This means if an attacker has low-level access to a Linux machine, they can use this bug to become the root user and take total control. And the scariest part? It's a zero day. There are no patches available yet.
Yeah, the researcher who goes by Flipped dropped this on the mailing list because the embargo was broken. Usually, security researchers tell the Linux maintainers privately, and they all agree on a date to release the fix and the details at the same time. But someone leaked it, so Flipped had to publish the details immediately so system administrators could at least try to defend themselves.
The workaround right now is to disable specific kernel modules, namely ESP4, ESP6, and RxRPC. But what makes this story fascinating is the meta discussion happening in the Hacker News comments about how this bug was found.
Right, so Dirty Frog is actually incredibly similar to another recent Linux vulnerability called CopyFail. A user named Fire brought up a really interesting point about the use of AI in vulnerability research.
Fire noted that the CopyFail bug was found by a researcher at an AI security firm. They noticed something weird and then used an AI tool to scan the codebase for that specific pattern. Fire argued that this shows a flaw in using LLMs. Because the AI gave them exactly what they asked for, they got tunnel vision. If a human had been manually wading through that code, they probably would have spotted this twin bug, Dirty Frog, sitting right nearby.
But then Thomas Patuck, a very well-known security figure on Hacker News, jumped in to push back. He pointed out that nobody had found this bug for years. It was only because an AI security firm went looking that CopyFail was found in the first place. You can't really blame the AI for missing the second bug when human engineers missed both of them for years.
It is such a great debate. Are AI tools acting like blinders, keeping us from exploring the periphery of a problem? Or are they shining a spotlight on things we never would have found otherwise? It seems like in this case, it is a little bit of both.
Absolutely, and it is a perfect bookend to our earlier story about AI slop. We are really in the messy middle of figuring out how to use these tools properly, whether you are writing a blog post or hunting for 0 days in the Linux kernel.
Well, that is going to do it for us today. Make sure you patch your Linux servers or at least run that mitigation script if you are managing infrastructure today.
Thank you so much for listening to HN Pod. We will be back tomorrow to break down whatever the Hacker News community pushes to the top next. Have a great day, everyone.